This morning, we're going to be talking about conquering the giants in your life. I don't know about anybody else, but I've had some giants to face this week. I tell you what, the other night, I was sleeping, minding my own business, probably sawing some logs, maybe even snoring. I don't know. But all of a sudden, I woke up, and it wasn't an attack in my dreams because I plead the blood over my dreams. But I woke up enough that I started thinking, and all of a sudden, this just attack of fear came against me like you wouldn't believe. And I it was so much so that I got up and went downstairs and sat down, or, you know, was walking around down there and was thinking about it. And all of a sudden, then I got mad. I just got mad. And I said to the devil, "How dare you come into my house and with this bunch of junk, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to get out." And I tell you what, that thing had to go. And I went upstairs and I got in the Word of God, and there was such a peace came on me. There was such a peace in my soul that I slept at 10 o'clock. So there, okay, there you go. And I don't usually do that. I'm usually like a 7:30, 8 o'clock girl, but man, I'm telling you, I slept so good. This morning, we're going to start this message by talking about the children of Israel, how that they had been in bondage to the Egyptians for hundreds of years and were crying out to God to be delivered. So then God sent Moses to lead them out of Egypt, and we know how all the plagues came upon Egypt because Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go. And then after the death angel came on all the firstborn Egyptians, and they died, then Pharaoh said, "Okay, you can go now," you know, because a lot of people had just died, and it was a scary time. So finally Pharaoh was like, "All right, all you Israelites, go, get out of here." Now let's fast forward to Numbers chapter 13, and I've asked them to put it on the overhead here so that you can see it with me. And that is Numbers 13 and 1 is where God speaks to Moses and tells him to send out men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. So do you see that he said, what does he say that he's going to do with the land? He says, "I'm giving it to the children of Israel." Did he hesitate there? Did he say, "I'm thinking about sending it, giving it to the children of Israel"? What did he say? He said, "I am giving it to the children of Israel." He tells them right here that he has given them the land. He didn't say, "I might." No, he said, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel." So Moses sends out the men, or we could call them scouts, and Joshua and Caleb were among these scouts. And these scouts were sent to explore the land and evaluate the strength of the inhabitants. Now, I want you to see Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 through 33. This is, I'm telling you what, this is, woo, shouting material. I hope you've got your shouting clothes on because, Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us." Now, this is the 10 spies. Now, I'm sorry, yeah, this is good too, but then there's another portion in the back here that gets even more, wow. Okay, so this is the 12 spies had come back. They had went into the land, they had spied out the land, and you know, because Moses told them to go, because God told Moses to tell them to go. Then they told him, which is Moses, and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey." Okay, they're saying it really does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover," now they're really starting to get into talking themselves out. "We saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able." Do you see the difference? Here's a man of faith. Caleb says, "We're well able, we can do this." And then you've got some men who said, now these are men of God too, men that you know, come out of Egypt with Moses. But they said, "We are not able. We are not able. That's what too many people are saying today. They're saying, yes, but the government's doing this. Yes, but all the banks are doing this. But God says, but you are well able. But they said, we are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. How did they know that? Did they walk up to the giants and say, hey, do we look like grasshoppers to you? Hey, you know, the reports that came out of that scouting expedition were mixed. They talked about how the land was found to be good, truly a land of milk and honey, but 10 of the spies feared the Canaanites because of their number and size. What happened? Didn't God tell them that if they would go, that he would give them the land? Did God change his mind? No, they got into fear. And fear will short-circuit your faith. We are living in a day that it would be easy to get into fear. But is it pleasing to the Lord to get into fear? No, just like it wasn't pleasing to the Lord for them to come back and talk fear to the rest of the group. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. They had a grasshopper complex. Do you remember the story about Rahab and the two spies that came to her house and she hid them? And while they were there, she told them that the people of Jericho there, that they were getting ready to march around the walls, she said, we're scared to death of you all. We are scared to death of you because we have seen what your God has been doing. We know how powerful your God is. That prostitute, Rahab, had more faith in the God of the Israelites than they did. Not all the scouts felt the same way, though, because we see that Joshua and Caleb made the statement, let us go up at once. Let us take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. So Caleb and Joshua advised the people to proceed and conquer Canaan. But the other 10, those doubters and fearful men, the faint-hearted ones, talked the people into not going into the land, and they ended up wandering around the wilderness for 40 years. It was an 11-day trip, and it took them 40 years to get there. Now, let's fast forward to 40 years ahead of time. Joshua 14, 6 through 12. Here we go. I'm telling you, I started reading this portion of scripture right here, and I had to get up and walk around and shout a while. I'm not kidding you. I had camp meeting in my house. Joshua 14, 6 through 12. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. Now look at that. You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. He's reminding him. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely, the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I'm as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. Hallelujah! For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! 45 years this man has been holding on to this one promise. Do you know that God has given us thousands of promises to hold on to? Hallelujah! Caleb is 85 years old, and he says to Joshua, "Give me this mountain." Now you need to understand, this is not just any land. This is giant country that this 85-year-old man is asking for, giant country. There are giants in the land, and Caleb knows it, and he still demands, "Give me my mountain." But Caleb refuses. He refused to tremble before these formidable enemies, those giants. And I believe that Caleb remembered, hallelujah, I believe that Caleb remembered when God parted the Red Sea and brought them forth on dry ground. He remembered how manna rained down from heaven and fed them every day. He remembered how when they were thirsty, water comes pouring out of a rock. He saw all that. He knew God was able to do it. I believe he remembered how their clothes and their shoes never wore out. He knew that the same Almighty God that did all that was going to give him that mountain, giants, and all. Hallelujah! Caleb totally expected to win this battle and to take the mountain. He knew he had the power to win. How did he know this? How did this 85-year-old man get this kind of mountain moving faith? Look at what he said in verse 12. "I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." Right there is the key. Caleb is coming into agreement. He has already come into agreement with what God said. He believes God's word. Caleb held on to that promise for 45 years. And like I said, God has given us promises, but until you take hold of those promises, they will not work for you. You have to get a hold of those promises of God. And I mean, grab a hold of them like a pit bull with a bone, and don't you let go of it. Caleb knew that God was bigger than any giant he might face. He also knew that God told them that they could have the land, so he was taking God at his word. God is faithful to us and will not fail us either. Caleb wholeheartedly followed the Lord. In fact, the name Caleb means literally following God like a dog. We all know that when a dog loves you, he will follow you all over the place. Well, I'm sorry. Okay, I like it though. Following God like a dog? I mean, come on. I used to have hunting dogs. And especially if you got food in your hand, they'll follow you anywhere. This is what this means, that this Caleb, he followed God. He knew God had his answers, and he followed him. He believed God. Hallelujah. There may be somebody here this week that you have faced a giant in your life. You may have faced a giant of fear this week. It's been like a scary week in Washington, but God said in his word, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You can have victory over the giant of fear through the name and the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, I've said it before and I'll say it again, just like the other day when I was in my kitchen and that fear slammed me out of nowhere. I'm telling you, you just want to sit down and cry. But you know what? You can't afford that. We don't have time for that. If I cried every time I wanted to cry, that's all I'd be doing. But I don't have time for that. I've got work to do. So do you. And so that's when you stand up and you say, "It is written," just as Jesus said it, "It is written." And you speak to that spirit of fear. Philippians 4:6-8 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, so that tells us, be anxious for nothing. Nothing means, so if you're not supposed to be anxious or fearful about nothing, what the world are you going to do? We're so used to worrying. We're so used to being anxious, staying up at night. He tells you right here what to do. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And then he tells you what's going to happen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And there's this other giant that comes along. And I heard about this week, not in my family or not in my church, but it was from another family. The husband was just angry all the time. And so angry that, you know, his children were afraid. When he come home, they would wait to see what kind of mood he was in before they would come out to play. That's wrong. I'm telling you right now, nobody should have to walk on eggshells to see how you feel. That's just purely selfish. You ought to come home and see how they feel. So this anger called, this giant called anger, Ephesians 4:30-31 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." You can control your anger more than you think you can. I tell you right now, if you're having a day like tomorrow's Monday, a lot of times people think that they could be mean on Monday. I don't know what that's all about. It's not in the Bible, "Thou shalt be mean on Monday, the rest of the week be good." I never read that. But you're having a day, you're having a fit of carnality, you're screaming at the kids, you're kicking the dog, and then now just pretend like all of a sudden I'm at your door, or Gilbert's at your door, or Tommy, or whoever in the church. All of a sudden, and you look out the window, oh my stars, oh, and all of a sudden you close it down. You're in a screaming, raging fit before. Wah, 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 kick the dog, kick the dog, wah, wah. Oh, there's Sister Holy Mo. You can control it. You can control it. I'm telling you, that's all in your mind. Chances are you can pull it together before you answer the door. So if you can control yourself enough to answer the door, then you can control yourself enough to quit screaming at your family. Yeah, I'm meddling. I'll move on. And I'm going to tell you about one more giant, and this is a big giant. It's called temptation. This giant called temptation will talk you into things. And then when you give in to the temptation, this same giant will accuse you of being weak. And it'll tell you that God doesn't love you anymore. And this giant will laugh at you and try to make you feel like a loser. But just as Caleb went after the giants on his mountain, you are equipped. You are equipped to go after the giants that are facing you. We are equipping you in this church. You are equipped through the Word of God. You are equipped through the power, through the love of Jesus Christ. You are equipped. Jesus conquered our enemies at the cross. 1 John 3:8 says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." He has already whipped your giants. He has whipped them and made them look bad. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus whooped them. That's just how we used to say it. "I'll give you a whooping," and they got whooped. God is bigger than all your fears and temptation. But we need to do like Caleb and speak what God says about that situation. If you are a born-again Christian, then you have the greater one on the inside. And I just can't stress enough to you how important it is to come into agreement with God's word. How do you do that? How do you come in agreement with God's word? Well, first of all, you got to read it. You got to look at it. You got to speak his word. Meditate on it. Think about it. God told all of them. Now think about this. God told all of those men years before that he would give them the land. And that's the word that Caleb stood on. Caleb and Joshua were the only two that took it literally. The rest of them said what they wanted to say, but Caleb and Joshua spoke what God said. I believe that Caleb went in there with a gleam in his eye and with a chip on his shoulder. Knock it off. Go ahead. Giant. Where's the giant? Give me a giant. I believe that he went in there You know how I know this? Because look at the way he talks. He talks in verse 11 about how strong he is. He said, I'm just as strong now as I was when Moses sent me out. He said, does that sound like somebody who's intimidated? To tell you the truth, I just almost get the feeling that old Caleb almost hoped a giant would poke his head up because he was going to take him down. That's how much faith he had in God. I'm going to face me some giants, and I'm telling you what, right now he's telling them they're going down. And we see, and I don't have time to go through all of it this morning, but if you want to go home and read this in Joshua chapter 15, you'll see where he got those giants. He went in and fought the mighty giants, and they were destroyed. Caleb knew that God was faithful and would not fail him. I came across this poem about Caleb. He stood before Joshua with flashing eyes. Give me this mountain before I die. But Caleb, you're old and the mountain is high. Choose a peaceful spot on this plain to die. The people who live on the mountain are strong. The battle you fight will be bloody and long. His eyes never wavered as he spoke without fear. I've been promised this mountain for 45 years. And as for the people being mighty and tall, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. For it's not by my strength on which I'm accounting, for the Lord is going to give me that mountain. So let's quit talking while it's still light. For the Lord and I, we have a battle to fight. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We need to stop talking about lack and defeat and start saying who you are in the Lord. You are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Romans 8 and 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, he said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hope. Hallelujah. We need to get rid of this I can attitude. I don't know what I'm going to do attitude. I'm afraid attitude. The giants are too big. If you're a born again Christian, then I want to remind you this morning that you have a measure of mountain moving, giant killing faith. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I'm telling you right now, you have a measure of giant killing faith. Whew. But until you know it, you've got to know it. You've got to talk it. You've got to think about it. When you're walking around the house, you should say, I've got giant killing faith in me. When you're walking around the house, you say, I have a measure of mountain moving faith. Mountains move when I talk to them. They move. Hallelujah. I dare you this morning to get an attitude like Caleb did and start talking to that giant that's been harassing you all week. Do like Jesus did when Satan came to tempt him. He came back at Satan's temptation by saying, it is written. I dare you, I double dog dare you to get into the Word of God this week. Don't just come in here on Sundays and Mondays and let us spoon feed you. If you're doing that, you're in trouble. I'm going to tell you it right now, you're in trouble. But if you get into the Word of God every day, even if you read a few scriptures, I would love for you to read a chapter every day. Read it out loud, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But get into the Word. You read you some scriptures. Chew on it. Don't just read it and say, okay, now I've got my brownie points. God, did you see me? Like you're clocking in and clocking out. That's not impressing nobody. God don't need you to read the Bible. You need to read the Bible. It's for you. Everybody stand. Hallelujah. I want everybody to close your eyes. No moving around, no looking around. This is God's time. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning. You're not a Christian. You have never met this one, this awesome one. His name is Jesus. He loves you. He knew you were going to be here today. It's not a mistake that you're here. He knew you would be here this day before the foundations of the world. In Ephesians, the Bible says before the foundations of the world, he knew who you were. That means he knew you'd be at Lighthouse Ministries this day. And so I just want you to know, go ahead, just kill that for right now. I want you to know this morning that the Lord is here with you. He loves you. He sees that you're here. And I'm telling you, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you have done. I don't care what kind of sin you have committed. He said, this is your day. I'm telling you, this is your day. I would like to introduce you to Jesus Christ, because it's not a mistake you're here. He knew you were coming. If there's anybody here today and you have never met the Lord, you have not asked Jesus to come into your heart life, raise your hand, because I would love to pray for you. Anybody here today, you're saying, I don't have that kind of relationship with the Lord. I don't have that kind of mountain moving faith in my life, but I want to. I want to meet Jesus. And you know, as the Bible talks about that Jesus talked about leaving the 99 sheep and going out looking for that one little lost lamb. And if there's any little lost lambs here this morning, he's looking for you. He's found you, and he wants you for your own, warts and all. What does that mean, warts and all? It means sins and all, everything you've ever done. He knows what you've done. He saw it. He saw it when you did it. And you know what he's saying? I've got just enough grace to cover that. I will forgive you. I will wash away your sins with my blood, and I will forget about it. He will never bring it up to you again, ever. Anybody here this morning, you're saying, I need to know this one Jesus. I would just raise your hand. I would love to pray for you. I would love to introduce you to him. Anyone, I'm telling you, right now is the day. Right now you're here. I don't know about tomorrow. Yes. Anybody else? Yes, I see the hand. Anybody else? You're saying, I don't know. I've never done anything like this before. You know what? This could be the best day of the rest of your life. If you ask Jesus Christ in your heart life, I guarantee you this will be the best day of the rest of your life. What you do today will affect eternity. This will affect where you are 25 billion years from now. Because eternity is forever. And right now, you're in this house. Right now, God is speaking to you. Right now, he's pulling on your heart. He's pulling on your heart, and he's tugging on your heart, saying, go on up there. If there's anybody and you want to meet Jesus today, come on up to this altar. I would love to introduce him to you. We've all made this trip. Nobody's going to look at you and say, wow, you know, what's that all about? No, we've all done it. We've all done this. And we will celebrate with you. Anybody that you would like to come up here, come on up. Come on up here. Anybody else? We've got one in here. Come on. One man coming. Is there anyone else? And if you want to just come on up later. And if there's anyone here this morning, you've been facing giants this week. You've been facing some things. And you want prayer, come on up. Come on up. Just, you know, we'll pray with you. We'll come in agreement with you. I need some workers. I need some prayer partners this morning, prayer helpers. I want you to come on up and help me. But if you've got a need this morning and you've been facing a difficult time, please come on up. We'll pray with you too. We know you're saved. You just need some extra help. You need some extra prayer. Go ahead, buddy.